Hello and welcome to Healthy Mind, Healthy Life with your host Avik. This podcast is all about exploring the latest research, sharing personal stories and providing personal tips for improving our mental health and well-being. Each episode will be joined by experts in the field of mental health as well as individuals who have experienced the transformative power of a healthy mind firsthand. Together, we will dive into a range of topics from managing stress and anxiety to building resilience and cultivating happiness. So, join us on this journey to discover new ways to take care of our minds, bodies, and souls. And let's work together to create a healthier, happier world one episode at a time. So, let's get started. Hello and welcome to Healthy Mind, Healthy Life. Today, we are joined by Dr. Sally Z. Hair. So welcome to the show, Dr. Sally.
Thank you very much. I'm honored to be here.
Lovely, lovely. That's great. So Dr. Sally, like before we start our conversation today, I would love to mention this to all of our listeners that Dr. Sally is a trailblazer in aging and soulful living. So with a mission to bridge the gap between age and wisdom, she invites us to embrace our roles as the elders and stewards of the planet. It's really great to hear this words, really. So why to wait for? Join us as we explore her journey and insights into cultivating the resilience, integrity, and wisdom for fulfilling life. So welcome to the show again, Dr. Sally.
Thank you very much. I love the way that you said that it's about wisdom. And I think, you know, aging is a privilege. If we're lucky, we get older every day. But becoming an elder is an intentional decision. I'm now 76, but when I turned 70, I felt like that was a very important portal into the rest of my life. And I wanted to be intentional about what I was going to be when I grew up after 70. So because I'm an academic, I did research. And what I learned is that there are more old people on the planet than there have ever been, but there are fewer elders. And we've never needed elders as much as we do now. So I'm excited to talk to you and your listeners, because what I know is that elder doesn't mean old, and that by waiting until 70, I waited too long to begin the journey to becoming an elder. It has to start much, much earlier.
Exactly. Exactly. Lovely. So Dr. Sally, just wanted to understand, like, what inspired you to delve into the concept of elder garden and the journey of becoming an elder?
Thank you for that question. As you know, I recently wrote what I call a field guide to the journey of a lifetime. And I'd like to just share with you a story at the beginning of the book. Sure. My mother often told the story that I ran away from home to go to kindergarten. My version was a bit different. I had been waiting my whole life for my fifth birthday. Five-year-olds were supposed to go to kindergarten, but my mother had decided not to send me. She worried that I might feel pushed out of the nest as our family of four added the newest baby girl. So I took matters into my own hands. The day after my birthday, I awakened early, quietly dressed, and headed downstairs to the apartment of my best friend, Erwin. Erwin was 3 months older, so I made complete sense of the fact that he already attended kindergarten and would be the perfect partner for my first day. "I'm going to kindergarten with you today," I informed Erwin. His mother, I called her Aunt Sarah out of respect, assumed that my mother had approved. Her hug left me wrapped in the scent of wintergreen. Unself-consciously holding hands with Erwin as we walked around the corner to the school, I stopped to pick up several leaves on the Charleston sidewalk: a red maple, a brown with yellow specks oak, a gold ginkgo. I offered them as a gift to my new teacher, oblivious to her calling my mother. Everyone knew everyone in our neighborhood, and convincing her to let me stay. Mother and I told different stories, but they resulted in the same happy ending. I was a kindergarten student. That happy ending was also the happy beginning on a path that would set the direction for my life. I felt at home in this space that invited me to be my best self with everything I needed: community, stories, music, play, snacks, quiet time, naps, and sympathy for my falls with encouragement to try again. We laughed and cried. We cleaned up our messes. We admired each other's gifts and began to glimpse our own.
Yeah.
Now I yearn for a space like the kindergarten I once knew, a space of play and joy, space for learning and opportunities for continued growth that is inner and outer. I name what I need as the elder garden, the space for me to grow into becoming an elder.
Wow, that's perfect, definitely. So if you can also share, like, what it means to be live an undivided life as an elder, and at the same time, how it differs from simply growing older.
That's a lovely question. For me, elder is the time of life when meaning blooms from a lifetime of seeds. An elder lives with authenticity, with integrity.
Mm-hmm.
Integrity comes from the Latin word integer, meaning whole or complete. And that really feels like the right word to describe what I know as my work now, connecting my inner self, my soul, with how I show up in my outer world, my role. And that word integrity resonates with my knowing that elder is not synonymous with old person, although becoming an elder is certainly the journey of a lifetime.
Understood. So one more thing is coming to my mind, like in your book, so which is The Elder Garden, a field guide for the journey of a lifetime. So there you mentioned the importance of connecting soul and the role. So it's really, really, it's a great rhyme and the meaning also. So if you can elaborate, like, on this idea, how it contributes to a healthy mind and a healthy life.
I love that, because for me, connecting soul and role is healthy mind, healthy life. It is being able to live, as you said earlier, undivided. The theologian Thomas Merton said that all of us have a hidden wholeness. My thinking about connecting soul and role is that it makes that hidden wholeness a little less hidden, that we can truly hear our own inner selves and we can be that inner self in the outer world.
Sure. So how do you believe the concept of elderhood can contribute to well-being of the individuals and the society as a whole? Because we give more priority to the society, knowingly or unknowingly.
That's so true, isn't it? We almost are worshipers of youth. I think that perhaps the journey to becoming an elder begins when we first glimpse our mortality. In the culture that I live in, maybe not quite as badly for you in your culture, but we really pretend that we're not mortal, that there is no death, that we're going to live forever. So I think that first glimpse of mortality allows us to see what a privilege aging is and the importance of healthy mind, healthy life, of living undivided, of bringing our birthright gifts, as I call them, which I think we come into the world with, into service in our life, creating the meaning, the purpose for our life. You know, recent studies are coming out every day. I just read an article this morning that the people who live longest are the people who seem to understand their life's purpose, who understand that their life has a meaning. So I love that meaning is so intertwined with healthy mind, healthy life. And I love that that journey to finding that meaning really begins very young.
Okay. Understood. So what are some of the practical steps or maybe the practices that individuals can undertake to cultivate that resilience, integrity as they transition into elderhood?
I love that you lift up the word practices. I talk about practices in my field guide, but I talk about them with a caveat. What I've come to understand is that practices are very personal. And I share with you in the book, in the field guide, my practices, not so that they will become your practices, but with the hope that as you hear or read my practices, you may begin to glimpse your own practices. What I have learned on this journey is that practices are the grounding for my developing the resilience for this journey. I love words, and I looked up the word resilience, and I learned that it came from the Latin word resilio, which means to jump back. And what I know about my practices is that they allow me to jump back into my life, to look at experiences, people, moments, places with new eyes, so that I can perhaps gain meaning that I wasn't ready to gain when I was there at that moment. I actually call these stepping stones. And I also know that these practices are not linear. So I share them throughout the book and my stories, but I do gather them into one section at the end in order to share them with you. Again, reminding you that my practices may not be your practices and that these practices are not linear. But let me just give you an example of one of my practices. It's the practice of lifetime learning and unlearning. I told you earlier that because I waited until I was 70, that was a bit late to start this journey. So I not only had learning to do, but I had unlearning to do. And unlearning is harder and takes more energy in many ways than learning. So I think that a lot of my work in these last 6 years has been unlearning. And maybe the most important unlearning has been about the word elder and the role of elder. You know, that it is not about old, but really starts at a much younger age and starts when we embrace, as you have, a healthy mind and healthy life, which for me is all about wholeness.
Understood. Understood. That's really, really good. So also one more thing is coming to my mind. Like we are talking about elderhood and elder garden. So I mean, how can, if someone wants to begin their journey, so how can someone begin their journey towards the elderhood, regardless of their current age or life stage, whatever, how you say?
I think that that's the exciting part for me of being able to share with your listeners my knowing that any of us can begin at any time. But what it takes is slowing down enough, being still enough to hear our own inner self, to hear whatever we call that, our heart, our soul, the divine within. I think anybody can become an elder, but I think it is a very intentional decision. And I think that it is only I can decide to become an elder, only I can take that journey, and it's too difficult to do alone. So I think I need companions on the journey, companions of all ages. I think it's a very intergenerational journey.
True. Exactly true. Yeah. So you have traveled extensively and explored the concept of community across the cultures. So how has this influenced your understanding of the elderhood? And at the same time, what are the lessons we can learn from different culture perspectives? So if you can share.
Thank you for that. One of the things I've learned from my travels is that not all countries are as deformed as mine about the thinking about elder. I had the chance to spend some time in Bali, and one of the an elder in that community was my guide for the time that I was there. And what I learned is that in Bali, the people think that elders are holy, that elders are getting ready to go back to God. They also think that children are holy, that babies have just come from God, and that there's a real connection between that beginning of life and then that later time in life. And they often recognize elders in the babies. They recognize when a baby is born that he or she has come to be an elder, and they treat that child as holy. In fact, in that community, the Balinese don't let a child touch the ground for the first year of life because the ground is dirty and that child is holy. That child has just come from God. And on the child's first birthday, the whole community comes out to welcome that child as she touches the ground for the first time. So different from my own Western world, in which we think children should be seen and not heard, and we don't really have a lot of respect for elders. So I'm finding much difference in different cultures, but because of the social media, particularly television and movies, so influencing all cultures, I'm finding that the deformation of my Western culture is seeping out across the planet, and that for many of the other cultures, they're really having to reclaim what they've always known, that elders matter, that we need elders, and that elder is not about age, but is about, as you said, wisdom, and is about living a healthy mind, a healthy life with intention.
Exactly. So as someone who is deeply connected to the stewardship of the planet, so how does environmental consciousness tie into the concept of elderhood?
One of the things that I've come to recognize, in part as I've been writing this field guide, which I hope will be a help for people who want to take the journey, is that a lot of our disconnectedness actually comes from our disconnectedness with nature. That until we reconcile our disconnectedness from nature, that we cannot live into wholeness. We really must drop into being and reclaim interbeing, which is a term that was coined by the Buddhist monk Thich Nhat Hanh as a word to describe embracing our interdependence with everything. So for me, connecting soul and role as elder requires coexisting respectfully with all living things, literally being in right relationship with the living world around us.
That's really lovely. So, also, like, if you can share any personal experiences that have shaped your journey towards becoming an elder and embracing the elder garden.
I think that in many ways, the COVID time, the pandemic, was a gift for me because I was able to stay home and really spend time in my garden and on my beach. That's my beach that you see behind me. I'm fortunate enough to live on the coast on the Atlantic Ocean. And I know that being in nature really helps me to feel that sense of healthy mind, healthy living, of connectedness, of wholeness. So I think that That's a big part of my journey, but a particular experience exacerbated that for me. We get hurricanes where I live, and several years ago, a hurricane took out a large group of trees in my backyard, and I was experiencing great grief because those trees were my friends. I had really known them. They had lived with me all the years I've lived in this house and this place. And as I was sitting with the trunks that were left and wondering how I could honor these trees, I got the idea of creating a fairy garden in the trunks of the trees. That was about 6 years ago, and that fairy garden has grown into a fairy village and a fairy forest, but it has not only helped me to understand the importance of my connection with nature, but also the importance of play for adults. And that's another practice for me. I think we honor play with children, but we forget as adults that we need play. And I think play is the portal into our spiritual lives.
Wow. So before we wrap up, like, what message or advice would you like to leave for our listeners with as they embark on their own journeys towards the elderhood and healthy living beyond the retirement?
Well, needless to say, I hope that they'll want to get a copy of the field guide, the Elder Garden, a field guide to the journey. But and it's available through all of the online outlets. But I think what I'd like to leave you with is the practice that's become the most important to me, and that's the practice of hope. I think the responsibility of elders is to know hope and to help others to see hope. When I was a child, my mother would tell me that some things have to be believed to be seen. She would tell me that when I would ask about Santa Claus and the Easter Bunny and when I would ask about God. And what I've come to understand is that hope really has to be believed to be seen. I've come to define hope as the cracks where the light gets in. So I want to invite us all to notice those cracks, to look for the places where the light gets in, and to embrace hope.
Wow, that's really, really great. So as we conclude this insightful episode, dear listeners, we have gained the valuable wisdom from Dr. Sally on the concept of thriving in the elder garden. So her passionate advocacy for living an undivided life, connecting the soul and the role, and also at the same time embracing the journey of elderhood, has left us inspired and empowered. So what do you think? Please comment below on your favorite podcast platform, and we'd love to hear from you. And also, we invite all of you to reflect on the profound insights shared today and consider, like, how you can apply them to your own life. So whether you are embarking on your own journey towards the elderhood or seeking to cultivate a healthier mind and a life beyond the retirement, Dr. Sally's guidance serves as a beacon of hope and inspiration. So always remember that elderhood is not defined by the age, but by the depth of our integrity and the authenticity of our connection to ourselves and the world that is around us. So as we continue our paths, may we honor the wisdom within us and strive to live with the resilience, purpose, and the compassion. So thank you all for joining us on this journey, and be sure to stay tuned for more enriching conversations on healthy mind and a healthy life. So until next time, may you embrace the elder garden within and thrive in every season of life. So thank you so much.
Thank you.